This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. .com 614 Startups Nation, welcome to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon, your host. It's been a while, folks. All right. I've been busy, but I've been busy finding you my next great guest. So I'd like you all to help me in welcoming Melissa Dixon of The Merchant. Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So I got an email. I'm starting to get these now as a podcaster from somebody that you know well and that I'm getting to know as well. And they told me, hey, listen, you need to be paying attention to this entrepreneur here in Columbus, Ohio, by the name of Melissa Dixon, building this awesome company called The Merchant. Now, prior to getting that email, the only kind of way that I was familiar with The Merchant is I drive down Main Street. And like a few years back, I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this beautiful building. It's all boarded up. And all of a sudden, somebody came by and sprinkled some magical dust. And now this building is transformed. Who would have thought years later, I'd be sitting down with the entrepreneur who made that transformation possible? So Melissa, welcome to the show. I like to start every single podcast by getting to know my guests. So who is Melissa Dixon? And when did you know you wanted to become an entrepreneur?
Again, thank you for having me on the show today. Honestly, I think that entrepreneurial spirit started way back in high school. I've always done events. I've always kind of taken the lead on different projects, activities. And then what really kind of came to fruition was after graduating from college at Ohio State, I worked for a private company. And I did equestrian events, and it was fantastic. But within 5 years, I really outgrew that role. I loved what I was doing, but I really wanted to dip my toe into the corporate world. I did it for a year, and let's just say that was the longest year of my life. I knew right away corporate America was not. I felt like I was in a box. I felt that all my ideas weren't being heard. Creatively, I just felt like, you know, I was getting push calls every time I wanted to bring something new to the table and kind of expand. So what we ended up doing was I had just met my husband. We were engaged at the time, and him and I came up with a business plan together. And within a couple weeks, we started an LLC. His background is IndyCar racing, so he had contacts all over IndyCar, the racing series. And with my background of event planning and travel, hotels and event design, we quickly put together a company called Dixon Hospitality that was able to kind of provide me the entrepreneurial spirit to kind of launch. And that's honestly how I got started becoming an entrepreneur. That went on for about 9 years. And then my business partner, Danielle Rohrbach, and I have always been friends. We've always ran our small businesses out of our homes. And we reached the point, I think, one day over coffee that we just said, you know what? If we want to grow and really go to the next level, we've got to make a change. Working out of your house, as many of you know, can just be isolating. It can be to the point where you just, I don't know, you end up doing dishes or you end up throwing a load of laundry, and that's great at the end of the day. But the productivity and just meeting the people is just really limiting. So she owns a property management company, and we had looked at actually an original property in the Old Town East area that we thought about curating into a co-working shared office space, and it was just too small. I mean, I'm like, we're going to be full within the first month if we go down this road. So we started looking at different buildings in the Old Town East area, And the one on Wilson and Main just tug at our heartstrings. And we brought our architect in. And before I knew it, here we are today. So it's been really exciting. We have another business venture together as well, a coffee company. So it's a great business partnership. I'm very creative in marketing. I love the event side of it. And she's definitely the engineer, the brains behind, you know, pulling together the permitting, working with the city, and definitely our numbers girl. So it's a great partnership. And we're very blessed that, you know, we're still friends and the business is thriving.
Yeah. So what did you do with hubby? You kicked him to the curb for your best friend. I mean, what happened to that business? Come on. I got to speak up for the guys, huh?
Yeah, no, that business is actually still thriving. So, you know, as we all do, we wear many hats. But that business is thriving because we started the merchant, because I could expand, because I could do more events within the merchant space, because I could collaborate with businesses that are currently, you know, residing in the merchant. So it's just been a great growth opportunity all the way around. So, oh, it's still going. I work on that morning, noon, and night. So.
Okay. So separation anxiety, people, anybody out there holding on to multiple businesses like Melissa are listening in, like, how do you do it, girl? So how are you running three businesses, including the merchant? I'm just curious.
Lots of planning. I block my calendar out. I make sure that when I'm driving in the car, I take all the phone calls and I have the cell phone numbers, the conversations, what I want to get out of that conversation ready to go. So I can truly use every inch of my time. So.
Guys, you didn't hear that she takes phone calls in the car, okay? None of us do that, right? None of us are multitasking when we're in the car. All right, Melissa, listen, I know it's the entrepreneurial life. We work everywhere. We could literally be at the dinner table and be thinking about work. And so that's one of the things I think a lot of people on this call can relate to. It's not easy being an entrepreneur. If you want to build a business, you have to wear multiple hats. And sometimes you might be building two businesses at once. So you guys are not alone, okay? We have successful entrepreneurs on here going through the same things that you are. So from the outset, when you partner with your partner, it sounds like it was always going to be a co-working space, because when you were scouting locations, you were looking for that location. So why co-working? There are a lot of co-working spaces out there, including a big one that just went bankrupt. So why co-working?
Honestly, I think when we came up with our concept, you know, we started doing the research back in 2000 and late 17, early 18, and we wanted something that was a little bit different than what everybody else was doing. And everyone says that, but I think at the end of the day, location's key, right? You're drawn to the location, the architectural, and the energy that a space creates. And the merchant itself, when you walk into our space, the energy and just the positivity, the natural light, the architecture of the building being restored, it's just, there's nothing like that in Columbus. You know, people are drawn to it. When you walk into our space, you're not greeted with the receptionist, you're met with Danielle and I. We make it a goal to be able to know all of our members at the merchant and make sure that we host gatherings and Christmas events and networking events. And we want to know you. We want to know your business. We want to know how we can help and collaborate and introduce you to other businesses in the space. But it's funny, when we opened in March of 20. And so we had already signed 2 to 3 leases for the space. We were so excited. And then on March 15th, March 17th, COVID hit and everything started getting shut down. And her and I still obviously went there to check on things. But at that point, nobody was really in the space in April. And we were like, what are we going to do? We just opened. We just launched. Nobody knows about us. Nobody wants to know about us because everybody's just wanting to stay home and stay safe. So we really had to get creative. At that point, we made the decision that co-working was not a good business plan for us. As many companies we pivoted, the private office space was definitely more appealing. It was more, you know, it just provided a sense of comfort to people. And so we would bring coffee up to every single floor instead of having the community space on the downstairs. we provided that to each individual office almost. And really kind of went out of our way. We took our leases that were normally 1 year, we dropped them down to 3 to 4 months just to try to get people into the space and try to get them to fall in love with it like we did. And hopefully at least, you know, alleviate the tensions that were going on in their home so that they could still grow their business so their business didn't go under. So currently, the merchant operates, we have 16 private offices, 3 conference rooms. We also have our event space, which is the patio space and the downstairs space. So co-working, we do it a little bit. We still offer it. We do offer virtual offices as well. But ideally, our private offices are where we shine. Each office is unique. You get your own lock. You have so many amenities. You can come and go. And, you know, co-working, we offer it. It's just, it's not as a popular item as our.
Support for the 614 Startups podcast comes from Nationwide. Nationwide's mission is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. To help fulfill that mission, Nationwide is looking to invest its $350 million venture capital investment fund in InsurTechs that will help them create new and exciting products and solutions to meet the needs of their customers. If you're interested in partnering with Nationwide's venture capital team, visit nationwideventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is nationwideventures.com. Nationwide is on your side. Today's episode is sponsored by the City of Dublin's Division of Economic Development. The City of Dublin provides world-class tailored business services and resources to ensure the best possible environment for businesses to recruit talent and thrive. Because of this strategic focus and commitment to employer growth, Dublin is the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Ohio. The City of Dublin supports startups and entrepreneurs by offering targeted resources and training programs to grow companies that are financially sustainable, innovative, and committed to creating jobs. Learn how other businesses depend on Dublin. Visit thriveindublinohio.com. Yeah, so a lot of people who listen to this are founders, but then we also have another audience who are thinking about starting a business. Mm-hmm. Let's dig into that story a little bit, because just because you have it in your mind that business is going to be linear, you can get a pandemic thrown at you. A couple months in, a pandemic is thrown at you. How do you persevere? What are you telling yourself? What are you guys talking about as business partners that help you get through this?
I mean, I think ideally, you just have to be open. You know, you have to know that you can lean on each other. You have to know that what you built, it was so new to them. It was so new to the Old Town East market, I guess, that we just got so creative. I mean, I remember we wanted to host a networking event in the area later that fall. And so we allowed people to come in groups of 8. Like the group was like 30. So we got really creative and broke it up, groups of 8. But I think at the end of the day, you just have to know that, and I guess we just believed it was going to be short-lived. We believed that we were going to persevere. We believed that everything that we had put forward, we would come out on top. And I guess that just comes back to, you know, our personal beliefs with prayer, but then also just having a good business partner that you can rely on, that you can be open with, and you can make smart decisions. Don't be rash. Don't be, oh my gosh, we're going to close down and not open. We have to totally switch the model. Sometimes you just have to ride out the wave and just, you know, cut your expenses where you can and just really make smart decisions.
Yeah, man. So prescient that you have the bull in the back, because you literally had to take the bull by the horns and be a matador and stare, you know, a potentially business ending event in the face and keep persevering. For those folks out there who might be thinking co-working still, or maybe private office, lay out the market for us. Is there room right now for new entrants to get in from your perspective? And what would your advice be to somebody who's thinking about getting in?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the market isn't saturated. I mean, I think that, you know, I just saw a business plan where someone took a farm that they had purchased and it had maybe 7 or 8 buildings on it. And so, you know, that's kind of a dying away, unfortunate, you know, part of our culture as well. But what they did was they took each barn, and people who have like a woodworker or someone who owns a landscaping company, they rented out those buildings to a platform on that regard. So you see this model, you see hairstylists, they all rent different spaces. I don't think it's saturated. I think that the ones that truly listen to what their tenants and what the members want, they're going to be the ones that continue to thrive. And I do think that, you know, where we're located, we're 1 mile from Bexley, we're 1 mile from downtown Columbus. I can get there in 18 minutes. You know, we're in a such a central located position that I would encourage people, you know, if you have other similar people that are looking for a space to work and you have the means to create something, don't hesitate. You know, come up with a member platform that is good for you. And if your niche is accounting, or if your niche is you know, total startups, there's definitely room in the market still.
I love, coming from a marketing person, you're immediately talking about niche. I love that. And that's where creativity and entrepreneurship comes in, right? Just because somebody is doing a dry cleaners or a private office space doesn't mean you still can't get in, but do it differently. And that really comes down to understanding who your customer is and what their needs are. Now, you've mentioned this location multiple times, Old Town East. Real estate, your partner's business, is all about location, location, location. But when people think about office space, my mind doesn't immediately go to Old Town East. So why did you choose Old Town East? You already mentioned 1 mile from Bexley, 1 mile from downtown. And what are the pros and cons of locating in, for what is over a decade, an up and coming neighborhood, right? We've been talking about Old Town East in Columbus for forever. So why'd you choose there, and what are the pros and cons for choosing that location?
No, I think that's a really great question. I think for us, we could make a bigger impact. And what a great community to really, you know, put our roots in. We love old buildings. We love to restore and bring back to life something that, you know, Main Street was such a prominent street. Old Town East was such a prominent area back in the day. And it has such a just amazing story. And so we wanted to create value back into this building. It's on the corner of Wilson and Main. I'm sure many of you have driven by it, but it's always been somewhat of a corner store. It's always had such a prominent piece to the community that we wanted to, and that's honestly why the name The Merchant has always just been so close to our hearts, is because over the course of the years, people have always had a merchant background. They've always had some sort of a, you know, business sense to that corner location. And so all of our members, they're all merchants. You know, they're all trying to build and, you know, create something for themselves. So it's been really great. I mean, the building dates back to 1905. So, you know, over 118 years, it's been such a staple here in the downtown Columbus neighborhood. Obviously, we knew going in, you know, the pros, as I mentioned, what a great impact. It's a great community. But the cons, I mean, it's risky. It was a risky market to invest in, but we also knew that the neighborhood was changing. My business partner had rental properties there previously within the last 10 years, and you constantly see, you know, the change happening and new homes getting bought and flipped and you know, redevelopment happening. And so we wanted to invest ourselves and really kind of sink ourselves into the community more.
Yeah. And so one of the things I immediately thought of was every time I drove by that building and I saw the rebrand of The Merchant, which I love, by the way, it does give off corner grocer at one point vibe, kind of a meeting corner for that neighborhood. So I really like it. It's aptly branded as The Merchant. So I really love that aspect of it. But I was like, where do people park? right? You're attracting so many businesses to that area. I think there's a Save-A-Lot next door on a piece of
Save-A-Lot's gone. It's now a new apartment complex called Ethan on Main.
Okay, wonderful. So it was one of the cons thinking about, hey, at capacity, where are all these people going to park? How did you guys solve for that potential issue, if it even was one at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think currently, you know, we talk about parking a lot. We always talk about, can we invest in a lot? Can we, you know, purchase something down the road to, you know, avoid further down the road in the future. But we have great street parking. We have wonderful neighbors and community members in the area that we've rented parking lots off of them for bigger events. We do host a lot of nonprofit charity events and weddings. And so we've gotten very creative with our parking situation. But because everybody at the merchant works different hours, it's honestly not been an issue. It's been such a great thing to see some people work in the morning, some people come in the afternoon and the evening. So it's honestly a flex with the income of cars.
Yeah. All you parking lot moguls out there, hit up Melissa. Let's get this thing figured out, right? Let's build something that's very authentic to the neighborhood, yet addresses the future of this up and coming neighborhood. I'm sure you guys can work something out. I smell a business opportunity here. All right, so let's continue our conversation. Many times in neighborhoods like Old Town East, the city's very interested in making sure that neighborhood development happens, right? Empty spaces get filled, particularly with small to medium-sized businesses that are addressing the immediate needs of the neighborhood. As you were exploring that, particularly your business partner, the numbers person, the real estate, the most experienced on the real estate side, how were you guys thinking or taking advantage of the city's priorities as they aligned with yours in terms of building this business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that we did was we dove into the community efforts. We attended Near East Commission meetings. We attended the Old Town East Commission meetings. And so we really kind of wanted to get a pulse of what was happening in the neighborhood. And then in doing that, we were able to understand how and what influx of projects were happening in the area, how people were handling variances, and just really trying to not just attend one and march in and be like, hey, here's our project, we want you to approve it. But we really wanted to, understand what was happening, who the key players were, build those relationships. And then when it was our turn to present, already kind of have the groundwork laid out. We were very fortunate to be able to work with the Economic Development Group here with the City of Columbus. We did also receive an NCR grant, which is a National Corridor Restoration Grant, which was fabulous because we were able to apply some to the exterior of the building and then also a portion to the interior of the building as well. We did receive our state tax credit. And with that state tax credit, we also tried to get federal as well, but we were unsuccessful because the way that the merchant is located on Main Street, you had to have so many buildings bunched together. And I want to say it was back in the 50s when the riots happened. So many of the buildings next to the merchant were destroyed by fire and arson, that there wasn't enough buildings. We were just south of Maine. So we missed the federal historic, but we were very fortunate to be able to receive our state historical credit. So
that's absolutely wonderful. Now, if we have a founder just as passionate about as you and your partner about community development, and they wanted to follow a similar path, not exact, but a similar path. You mentioned diving in, but what are those critical places to go, people to know, meetings to participate in? I guess it's different for every part of the city, but if you were just giving some free game right now, right, that you learn from the rough and tumble that you had to go through, what are some suggestions you would give folks?
I would say we consulted with a firm to be able to understand what the process looked like for the historical tax credit for state and for federal. And honestly, having a consultant walk you through what the steps are, and then also advise and be like, hey, you need to introduce yourself to this person. You need to maybe attend this meeting. And so we kind of put together, if you would call it our timeline, if you would call it our roadmap, but also the area that you want to invest in, you've got to know what's happening in that area, in that community. Whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, whether it's the commission, and you really need to introduce yourself and not be shy and be like, hey, I'm thinking of starting this, or I'm thinking of creating this here in our community. What are your thoughts? But you also have to be ready in case they come back with not what you want to hear, right? So opinions can sometimes not be the most positive, and sometimes they might be positive, and it takes on another life on its own, or someone loves what you're doing. But I think the biggest thing is to, if you want to invest in a community and you want to bring something new to the area, you have to be ready to invest back into it. Lay out the roadmap. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself to people, and make sure that you follow through with what you say you're going to do.
This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting kjk.com. Listen, Melissa, I wish I had taken your advice on this whole media thing and hired some experts early on. I think it's one of the things that a lot of first-time founders don't understand. The most successful businesses have very, very good advisors behind them. They're not the public face. The founder is out there telling the story, but many of them are very well mentored. They have the right advisors, and they aren't afraid to spend money on experts. So kudos to you for making that investment. That's probably one of the best investments you've made so far in your business, because it got you so far down the road and got you closer to your goal. All right. So there you go, folks. That's a little game. Don't be afraid to spend some money. All right. What's next for you and the merchant? 2 years, 3 years after the pandemic, you know, what's going on with your tenants? If you want to name drop some of your tenants, what's going on at the merchant? Bring us up to speed and then give us what's next for you and the merchant.
Yeah, the merchant's extremely, she's busy. I mean, I want to say our events last year, we probably had right around 30, if I had to put a number on it. Which is, you know, every year it's almost doubled in size. And every time people come to an event there, they're like, I didn't even know this existed. So honestly, it's been a fun little secret just because of the patio space and the indoor space that we have available. Tenant-wise, we are so blessed. I mean, we have some of the best members here at the Merchant. I know that...
You can think about it. No, think about it. Don't hesitate. Give them some love. Show them some love on the show. You never know who's watching. Let's give them some love. Who you got?
I think it starts like, why are people in your space? And we've been very blessed. One of our first people that ever signed a lease with us, it's a company out of Brooklyn, New York. They're an e-com company. The name is Pearhead, and they've been phenomenal. I mean, they've been with us now, gosh, it's going on 4 years. Mayor Ginther had his campaign team at the Merchant this fall, which was very exciting. I would say that at least once a week, there was camera crews in. They had some wonderful fundraising that they did there. I love to see the space used in such a creative way. It's never the same use. We also are very fortunate. We have a lot of other investors in the space, which is really exciting. A phenomenal company that has Airbnbs and wedding venues down in the Hocking Hills area, and they operate out of our space, which is really cool. Phenomenal lawyers in the space. I mean, it's just, it just thrives on just such positive energy. Everybody gets along. It's just, it's great. I enjoy going there every day. And I think when you are an entrepreneur, you wake up, and I hope, I love to wake up because I love to do what I do. I love to meet new people every day. I love to create new things every day. And I think having the merchant is such an inspiring place to go and make that all happen. It's been fabulous.
That's awesome. So are you full? Do you have spaces? Are you looking for tenants on the private office side?
So we do have a couple offices that just became available. And we do take waiting lists as well. And I think I mentioned if you just need an address or if you need a place to like pop in every now and then, we do have like a hybrid co-working virtual office membership opportunity available too. And then you asked me what the future holds. You know, obviously around the holidays, before the first of the year, Danielle and I always try to do some brainstorming and think about what our goals are. We'd love to see another merchant, you know, happen in the Columbus area. I don't know location, but we're always looking. It's just been such a great, you know, staple here in the Columbus community, especially in Old Town East, that we would love to create another one in the near future.
More merchants, maybe a parking lot empire. You have the bandwidth, okay? Infinite businesses are on their way. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love it. So if folks are interested, let's say they want to get on the wait list, they need a private office space, or maybe they have an event. It's the holidays. Event venues right now are at a premium. They need to have an office park. They need to do something. How do they get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more?
Yeah, they can go to our website and there's a contact us button there. They can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. It's just The Merchant Columbus, and you can, you know, do the DM and you go right to me. You know, like I said earlier, we don't have a ton of staff. Danielle and I really wanted to be the face and to really make the impact with our tenants and, you know, with the members here at The Merchant. So, Jimmy is a full-timer at our space. You'll see him in the mornings. He opens, he makes coffee, he helps everybody. He's a huge asset to our team. But yeah, so it's easy to contact us. It's just all available on the website or our socials.
Yeah, last question before I let you go. You mentioned a coffee business. What's the name of that coffee? How can people buy that coffee, try that coffee? Is it a merchant exclusive? Like I got to get a lease just to taste it. Let me know what's going on with the coffee.
Yeah, so I can give you a little lowdown on that. So the company is called Good Sign Coffee, and it actually operates out of The Merchant as well. And the mission behind Good Sign Coffee is to employ and promote and help raise awareness for the deaf community. So The Merchant itself, the last 3 years, we partnered with the School of the Deaf here in Ohio, in Columbus, and we've partnered with them in providing opportunities for students to work with The Merchant, whether it's cleaning, fulfilling coffee orders, doing anything to be able to give them job experience. And then Danielle and myself also help the school and the students do mock interviews to get the students ready to go out to the workforce. And in all of this, we both love coffee. We wanted to find a mission to give back, and Good Sign Coffee was formed. We're only online right now. It's retail only. We have one flavor of coffee. My advice is to start small. You can always grow. It's a fabulous, it's a Peru, it's a medium roasted coffee. It's amazing. And we partnered with a local roaster here in Columbus, and they've been phenomenal to work with as well.
All right. Is that roaster in Old Town East?
It's not.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess at it. All right, Melissa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
really, you. Really appreciate your time with me. Before we close, I always do my one thing. You mentioned the passion for giving back and building a business in a neighborhood where you could give back. Obviously, you're doing the same with the coffee company. Let me talk to you about the power of passion. I was literally about to cancel this show today because I am under the weather. I made myself come, and guess what? Because I'm doing what I'm passionate about, how I felt has receded. Meaning I'm so in my purpose in this chair that literally I find the strength to do it. And for all you entrepreneurs out there, I wish for you nothing more than to actually be building a company that gives you energy and doesn't take away. All right, folks, that's another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon. You can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms and, of course, on social media. If you're not on the newsletter, slap yourself and then get on the newsletter so these episodes come direct to your inbox. All right, Melissa, anything else from you?
I think we're great. Thank you again for having me.
All right. Until next time, guys. Peace. That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms, and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.